Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life and schedule to join me on the broadcast. Today is Tuesday, September 15th, 2020, and it's my official second day of retirement. Yay! Last Friday, September 11th, I retired from Christian Hospital Northeast in housekeeping after 21 years being the trash man. Let me tell you what my body is saying. It's time to quit. What a hard job that was, but I loved really every minute of it. So it's so good now to be able to dedicate my free time to the things I love and I'm passionate about. And that's this broadcast, and that is writing books to be voices for my Iranian friends and my podcast. So I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to share that with you this morning. Some very sad and depressing news out of Iran this past weekend. A very young, prominent athlete. He was a world champion wrestler in so many ways. His name, Navid Afkari, was executed by this cruel government. What was his crime? A peaceful protester 2 years ago in Shiraz during the uprisings when Iranians were taking to the streets in various cities. Navid was accused of stabbing a security guard. But that is not true, and I'm going to share with you why. I want to start this morning with a report from Amnesty International and talk to you about this prominent athlete. Navid Afkari was a young man with a promising future ahead of him, carrying out his death sentence with such utter disregard for the basic principles of justice further demonstrates the cruelty of the death penalty. A series of judges in different courts used forced confessions obtained under torture to convict him and consistently failed to investigate his complaints of torture. And that's according to Diana Elthaway, Amnesty International's Deputy Regional Director for the Middle East and North Africa. His family was not given any prior notice. His lawyer was not given any prior notice before his execution. It was a grossly unfair trial, a horrifying travesty of justice that needs immediate action. He was only 27 years old. He was forced under pressure to confess to something he didn't do. And this is the common trait among all political prisoners in Iran. They do this all the time. He was denied access to a lawyer and other fair trial guarantees. He fought desperately to seek help in court to receive a fair trial and to prove his innocence. There was leaked voice recordings of him in court to expose his pleas for judges to investigate his torture complaints and bring another detainee who had witnessed his torture to testify, but they were unlawfully and cruelly ignored. And before his execution, there was another voice recording from him inside prison. It was released, in which he said, quote, "If I am executed, I want you to know that an innocent person, even though he tried and fought with all of his strength to be heard, was executed." Do you know, 2 years ago, while he was early on in his arrest and torture, on his Instagram site, you can see the very powerful and moving scene from Braveheart where William Wallace is on the torture rack. He's ready to be executed. And there's the King of England, you know, just beg for mercy. Just come back and be ruled by the English. Forsake all of your adventures and trying to overturn us. Just beg for mercy. And William Wallace refused under the torture rack. And there's that triumphal scream where he yells, "Freedom! Freedom!" And then he's beheaded. This was what's shown on Navid's Instagram site. Because this was a young man, a well-known champion wrestler, just begging for a fair trial. And instead, this past weekend, he was executed. I want to read to us this morning a statement, a very powerful statement, that is, from Iran Human Rights, the Center for Human Rights in Iran. The execution of Navid Afkari, the 27-year-old champion wrestler, by hanging at sunrise today in the southern Iranian city of Shiraz, demonstrates the Iranian judiciary's complete disregard for law, justice, and international standards of due process. The Center for Human Rights in Iran, CHRI, condemns in the strongest terms the unlawful and tragic execution of Afkari. And here is the statement that was released by Executive Director Hadi Gahmai. The decision by Iran's judiciary to execute wrestling champion Navid Afkari shows yet again the Iran's judiciary is a tool of political repression and violence, and it is a threat to the Iranian people. Afkari was denied any semblance of due process and a fair trial. There is evidence that he did not commit the crime he was accused of, and his statement that he was tortured into giving a false confession was never investigated. His lawful participation in the protests that swept Iran in 2018 effectively signed his death warrant. The authorities are determined to stamp out any peaceful dissent and protest and are increasingly issuing death sentences to enforce this repression. If the international community remains silent in the face of the injustice we saw against Afkari, we will see more state violence against peaceful protesters and more lives will be unjustly and unlawfully lost. Iran's judiciary and government bear full responsibility for the unlawful execution of Navid Afkari. Yet it must be noted that the response of the International Olympic Committee and the United World Wrestling Organization was weak and inadequate. They failed to uphold their own principles and regulations, thereby undermining their own viability. Sports federations must hold Iran accountable for its actions. My deepest condolences to the family, friends, and his colleagues of Navid Afkari, whose life was tragically and senselessly ended at age 27. All citizens, and especially political prisoners in Iran, are vulnerable to the violence and cruel and unlawful actions of the Iranian judiciary. This is Center for Human Rights in Iran, and it is from the executive director, Hadi Gamahi. Very sad situation. They made this an issue of a problem between two families. He was supposed to have killed this security guard. And so the family has an opportunity in this geisa, this situation where there's a dispute between two families in Iran. The family has an opportunity to forgive. And then the person that did the crime pays a sum of blood money, as they call it, I think, and he can go free. That, of course, did not happen here. But this reminds me of a case I wrote about, Rahane Jabari. She was executed in October 25th, 2014. She was attacked. A former security guard or a former intelligence agent tried to rape her. And she defended herself by stabbing him with a knife, which is what any girl would do in a situation if she had access to a weapon. She's defending herself. But for 7 years, they tried to get Rahane to change her story and say he didn't try to rape me because he was a former member of the intelligence, a government man. Rahane refused to give in. And in the end, when the families met in the courtroom before the execution, where there's an opportunity again for a resolution, there were people from the government in there to pressure the family to say to them, don't forgive her. And you know what happens next. Rahane is executed. This is much the same of what happened to Navid Afkari. The BBC, the lead article is Navid Afkari, Iran executes young wrestler despite global outcry. I was part of that global outcry, the petition, the Twitter storm, the millions that spoke out in vain. And he was sentenced to death, like I mentioned, over the murder of a security guard during a wave of anti-government protests in 2018. But again, tortured into making a confession. A travesty of justice, the BBC says about his execution. Now, one of the things that happened as a result was United States President Donald Trump tweeted, as a support, as a voice for the Iranian people, he was asking for mercy for Navid, saying the wrestler's sole act was an anti-government demonstration on the streets, and he's exactly right. The International Olympic Committee called the execution very sad news, very sad news. And so this morning, as I paid tribute to Navid, telling his story, talking about him as an innocent victim, I predict very soon there are going to be uprisings all over Iran, as there was just last year because of the rise in the gas prices, one of the reasons. I believe executing this prominent man, the result is going to be citywide uprisings. They try to execute to put fear into people, but it's not going to work. He was too well liked and too well known. You can read these articles up on my Facebook page. Share this broadcast with as many people as you can to get Navid's story out. What an incredible human being whose life was cut short by this evil regime. I want to go now to Turkey. I want to talk about two prominent young Iranian women who are facing deportation in Turkey. I've had their story up on my page for now the last couple of weeks. I just published the story on my Crossing the Desert website of one of the women, and I want to share her story with you this morning because it's so important to be a voice for these Iranian women who face deportation from Turkey back to Iran, and it would mean certain death. I want to share the story of Afsana, and the name of the story I wrote for her is 40 Years a Slave to Sharia. A young girl or woman living in Iran in the 21st century will quickly understand what it means to be a second-class citizen. She has experienced the true meaning of disgrace and humiliation in a country where her value has been reduced to the size of a man's left testicle. My name is Afsana Rostami, and I am that woman. I am 40 years old, struggling to survive with hopes and dreams for my son's future. I am a single mother with the difficult task of raising him all alone in a male-dominated culture without any support from my family. I have been fighting my entire life against a corrupt system of anti-woman Sharia laws that devalues and disgraces a woman and treats her like a sexual slave. The longer that I live, the more that I realize that there is no hope in the darkness. My family forced me to marry at an early age, and I had a child when I was just a young teenager. Very soon afterwards, I was divorced, not understanding the true meaning of love and marriage. My family separated me from my son, declaring that I was really unfit to raise him. For 8 long years, I was prevented from seeing him because of my gender under existing Islamic law. I had to escape in order to find hope and freedom. I stayed awake every night crying because I was unable to hold my son in my arms. Desperate and afraid, I escaped from my family, who wanted to kill me because I didn't fit the role model of an Islamic woman. I have not lived for these past 40 years. I have been miserable and unhappy. I have not danced for 40 years. I am tired. I finally arrived in Turkey to seek refuge in a safe country, but my pain has doubled since my arrival. I have no income, so I had to find a job, but unfortunately, refugees are not allowed to work in Turkey. Well, at least, let me clarify something, at least Iranian refugees. It seems that the government seemingly makes exception for Syrians and Muslims and other people. There seems to be a real bent of discrimination because Iranians are Shia, the minority Muslim group, and Turkey is Sunni Muslim. And you know there's a big rift between the Sunnis and Shia, therefore the discrimination against Afsana is for that reason. So they are prohibited, she says, from obtaining a work permit. You can't work, at least Iranians. When the Turkish police discovered that I had a job on the black market, I was arrested and my residence card was revoked. After living in Turkey for 8 years, the government has given me a deportation notice despite being accepted by the UNHCR. If I'm deported back to Iran, the government will execute me because I'm a political activist. Iran was once a civilized country, but with the Islamic invasion centuries ago, and then the revolution in 1979 that caused the Shah to be exiled, now my beloved Persian nation is filled with death, destruction, and poverty. When the Shah was in power, the face of Iran was changing into a Western secular nation that had gender equality and freedom. But when Khomeini seized power, Iran was transformed into a theocratic nation with the iron-fisted rule of Islamic mullahs. They have suppressed our freedom-seeking heroes, scientists, and educators, silencing their voices. The government is killing our youth out in the streets because of their peaceful protesting. They are imprisoning and executing our sons, our daughters, and our young women simply because they want freedom and the right to make choices. Well, now that you've read my story, I only have one request of you. Please be my voice. If I am deported, I will no longer have a voice. For 40 years, I have struggled and fought in a culture that hates freedom and hates women. I haven't danced in 40 years. Please be my voice so that I can dance again. Afsana, doesn't your heart just break for her? It's so sad, and that's why I wrote her story to be her voice, as she requested, to pray for her and to hope that the Lord will intervene and stop this process. I want to now read the next story. There are two of them, Layla and Absanah, and they are together most of the time. I, Layla Hassanian, was born into a tribal family in the southern part of Iran, the second child of parents who have been waiting for many years to have a son. And of course, that didn't happen with my birth. My father was the eldest son of the tribal family, and he felt he must have a son to carry on the family legacy. He wanted his name to remain forever to be registered in the genealogy, and the generation would not be extinct. However, that didn't happen. No one was happy with my birth, and my grandparents were very upset until 4 years later when they had a son. My brother was born. And then the celebration and then happiness was endless. During my childhood and adolescence, all the attention was on my brother and his activities, and me and my sister were left behind. There was no attention given to us as girls. At the age of 20, I was forced to marry by my father's selection. And again, in this marriage, I was not considered to be an equal partner by my husband until we had to go to Turkey and become a refugee. And that's when I started the hard life. I couldn't communicate with my husband. I wasn't able to get a job, and I was seriously controlled. I became depressed. I couldn't get therapy, and I could only take sleeping pills to sleep. I just was so infected by my husband's behavior. The immigration office of that city didn't help me with my marital problems, and I had to go to Ankara, where I went to court to apply for a divorce. And after a week, the immigration office of that city issued my deportation to the same city that my husband was living, and they issued a deportation be effective in 4 days. They detained me and sent me back to a larger central detention center in a larger city to be sent to Iran. Unfortunately, I spent a month and a half in the detention center to prove that my life was in danger if deported, but at the moment, my deportation has not been lifted for a long time, and the United Nations is not dealing with me. I have no RD cards, no interviews, no rights in Turkey. I have to work to earn a living, and wherever I work, I have to pay my salary daily. I work 12 hours a day for $1 an hour in Turkey, and I'm lonely. I'm a foreigner. They expect services from me, especially sexual and psychological harassment. But now I am studying the Christian faith with my friend from America and other Iranian Christians in Turkey. Let me share with you something going on here. I have a friend named Mali Rosbaz. She is the head of an organization for women in Iran. It's Iranian Voices, the women's organization of Iran. She helps refugees like Layla in Turkey. She is helping both Layla and Afsana. And Layla has expressed an interest in becoming a Christian. And what is happening is my friend Molly is meeting with them on Zoom, and they are talking back and forth. And even sometimes Afsana will join them and show interest. Now, Afsana is not a Christian. She's an atheist. But she has joined them online to hear what is the good news of Christ. And Layla has shown such an interest to take away the hopelessness and the despair in her life. I just ask that you would pray for this precious group of women, these two women. They are in danger of being deported back to Iran. And if they go back, especially if Layla becomes a Christian, if they go back, they will be imprisoned for their political activities and political views, and especially Layla because she has become a Christian. It's very dangerous. And so this story, Afsana's story, is up on my Facebook page, 40 Years a Slave to Sharia. Please share it as many places as possible. Later today, I'm going to rewrite Layla's story and make it into a blog on my Cross in the Desert, and you can share her story as well. Now, this past weekend, my wife and I were able to go to a freedom rally in St. Peter's. It was a great event. It's a freedom rally because of what's happening in our country with the socialist, Antifa, destructive, all of the things that are happening in cities, the anti-cop, just the violence. You see it all the time on the news. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Portland, Seattle, all of these cities, Washington, Chicago, we are being attacked. The very framework and fabric of our freedom and our constitutional rights are being attacked by a socialist, democratic, radical movement. And therefore, the reason for this rally is for us to get together and to let our voices be made known. Another example of this is Christians not being able to attend churches because of the so-called pandemic, and the states are using the pandemic to enforce their power against Christians to deny them their rights. Many of the states like California shut down major churches because of taking the rights to the next level, denying the rights of Christians. They're using corruption and power over Christians. And so this rally was in response to all that's happening in the United States. And one of the key points, one of the key events of the rally was an artist. His name was Coffee Anderson. He has a very popular patriotic song I want to share with you. It's about us. It's about the freedom that Afsana and Layla want so much that live in Turkey, the freedom that we have here, but our freedoms are under assault and under attack. I want you to hear this really great song right now on The Cross in the Desert.
And it's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's some handwritten letters from home. It's some sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue. March in line, march in line.
What a powerful patriotic song, Mr. Red, White, and Blue, Coffee Anderson. That got the crowd going at the rally. I mean, people understand, like myself, that our freedoms are under assault from a radical democratic socialist movement, Black Lives Matter, and the rest that are trying to undermine the various principles of freedom in our country, trying to overthrow the blessed Constitution that gives us our rights and freedoms. But our rights and freedoms ultimately come from God. And so really, in many ways, this violence across the city at election time this year is an assault against God, because our rights and freedom actually come from God. What I want to do right now is I want to feature a powerful interview on The Cross in the Desert. This is an Iranian refugee. I don't know her name. This is something I found on YouTube. But it's the story of what freedom means to Iranians, Iranian Americans, and Iranian refugees who live here. And they are witnessing what's happening in our culture with the violence, the anti-cop, the socialist movement. They understand what's going on here. And in this interview, this refugee remarks that what she sees happening in our country reminds her of many years ago when she was a child in Iran, when the same thing was happening, when the mullahs tried to overtake the Shah, and they succeeded, of course. She says, this reminds me of what was happening in my country many years ago before the revolution. So right now, I want you to hear this powerful interview.
Hello, patriots. This is John Strand with the Truth Maverick campaign for Totally LA. I'm here at the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally in Beverly Hills Gardens Park every Saturday at 3 p.m., and I am standing here with fellow citizen and patriot, Shiva. Shiva, it's great to meet you.
Same here, John. Thank you.
So Shiva has an interesting story to tell. She is originally from Iran. But first, Shiva, tell us what brings you to the Freedom Rally. What made you decide to spend your Saturday afternoon here instead of anything else that you could have been doing? What brings you here?
It's a pleasure to be here with other patriots, knowing especially Los Angeles, we are not silent anymore, we are on silent majority.
That's right.
Just for your information, I've always been a registered Democrat. I voted for Bill Clinton, I voted for Obama the first term. But unfortunately, the Democratic Party has gone a lot towards the left, and it's more a Marxist party that has turned its back to the citizens and to the freedom and to the Jews and to the whole country, to the Constitution. This is why I'm here, to speak up. This country is too precious for me. 1978, Amen. Thanks to Jimmy Carter, the Shah of Iran was overthrown, the dynasty was overthrown, so we all fled for our lives. We left everything behind. I went to Italy first because my dad had a business there. And then we all decided to move here because this was the best country. You could grow here, you know, as long as you worked hard and you were honest, you could be whoever you wanted to. So this was just a dream. And we were fortunate enough to move here 30-something years ago. And as I said, unfortunately, the unity, we called it in 78, the unholy unity of red and black in Iran, which was the Marxists and the Islamists. That's what destroyed Iran. And I'm seeing this, that's why we left. They brought Iran down, they brought Sharia law into power. We didn't have freedom. I had to cover my hair as a 13-year-old to go to school. I had to obey the Sharia laws. The women did not have
You had to mask your hair?
We had to mask our hair, yes, exactly. That's why we left, with one suitcase. You know, everything else was left behind. Later, everything was confiscated. And at least we are alive. We were alive. Now, being in the United States, seeing that the Democratic Party has become a Marxist party, and they are hand-in-hand with the Islamists, like Ilhan Omar, that I call her Jihad Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Linda Sarsour. This is extremely scary for me, honestly, because I'm here to speak up, to hopefully try to make America wake up. This land is too precious. Once they take over Sharia law will be in charge. They are just using the Democratic Party. Democratic Party is using them because of their votes. As you may know, they're after the Islamic votes, 1 million. They are doing anything they can, especially in the swing states, to get the votes of the Muslims. And then Joe Biden says he wants to bring Islam into schools. What does he want to teach about Islam in schools? That the children can get married, that men can have up to 4 wives, that homosexuals can be executed and murdered, or they cannot have Jewish or Christian friends. What does he want to bring into the education of our public schools? So this is extremely, extremely scary. And Donald Trump, in my opinion, is the last hope standing between us and the Marxists and Islamists. That's why I'm here to back him up. This country is too precious for me. I ask everybody, do not think Republican or Democrat. Just think American. See what is right.
Think freedom or tyranny.
Exactly, freedom or tyranny, yes.
What you said is so powerful and it is so true. And, you know, there's so many people in this country that are really confused or deceived by mixed messages,
yes,
about what is right for this country, what is going to bring us to freedom. And so what would you tell people that are confused about who Donald Trump might represent or what the Republican Party might represent, and the mixed messaging from the Democratic Party, where they say, we care about racial equality and we care about helping people that are hurting and are oppressed by systemic racism or all of these other systems of oppression? I think you are familiar with what actual oppression is and systems of oppression. So explain for those folks, what is real system of oppression and why is America the opposite of that, and why is it so important to understand what Trump and the Republican Party is trying to really communicate to people?
Real oppression is the Islamo-Nazi regime of Iran. It's what is ruling Iran, and thanks to Obama, who gave $150 billion to them, the terrorists all around the world have become stronger, the Hezbollah and Hamas. There are tons of them here.
Wow. So when you pay terrorists, they get stronger?
Of course they do. And Iran, since day one, the regime has screamed on top of their lungs, death to America, death to Israel. They want to wipe off Israel, you know, from the map.
That sounds like peaceful protesting.
Exactly. And that's who they are. And when they say we want the systematic racism, for me, doesn't exist. It's just what they use. Many, many, many black people, including my friend Ben, who's here with us today, many black people have woken up. They do this every 4 years to get the votes, and then they do not do anything about it. America is the least racist country in the world.
Amen.
There is racism in this country, but
like
it's the least racist country, as there is anti-Semitism here, but it's the least anti-Semite country in the world.
Amen.
And once this is taken away from us, and let me tell you, if they come after Jews, they come after everybody.
That's
Christians,
right.
homosexuals, everybody they can. It was only 11% of the population in Iran who wanted the Islamic regime, the Marxists and Islamists. And those 11% took over. And 42 years, we haven't been able to get rid of that regime. They have killed so many Americans all over the world. But they're bringing it here. Unfortunately, they are in our Congress. Unfortunately, the Nayakis here, who are the lobbyists of the Iranian regime here, and their members are friends with Kamala Harris. I have their pictures. I have their interviews. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to post all of them. One, because they take them down. Two, because I'm scared for my business. Now, I do not have any business because Governor Newsom and Garcetti shut down everything.
Yes, they did.
Because of their political agenda. But if I will not have a free country, I will not have a business in January. So this has become my business. That's why I'm fighting for it. I'm not ashamed to say I support President Trump, and I will go vote in person for him. If you care for this country, if you want the freedom for this country, please vote. Please know how to vote. Vote wisely. Do not trust them. Do not do with ballot. Do not do mail. I received 6 ballots in the mail, 2 for each member of my household. I know of friends who have received the ballots for dead tenants who used to live in their household. I know of friends who have received ballots who have only the Democratic nominees on them. And when you ask me what to tell the people, just listen to the White House press conference every day. You would do yourselves a big, huge favor. Watch them with open mind, with open heart. See what this president has been doing for everybody, for this country, without getting paid, donating all his salaries to different causes, how he's going after child trafficking, human trafficking. Media is not talking about them. I posted about them every time they were brought down. They do not let people know what is really happening in this country.
That's right. You said something really great. Listen to the press conferences. Listen to the president himself speak for himself what he is doing. Don't just take a 20-second clip from fake news media that twists it completely out of reality.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely, yes.
Shiva, thanks for being a patriot and supporting what's going on here and defending our country and our freedoms. We are here at the Beverly Hills Freedom Rally every Saturday, 3 p.m. at Beverly Hills Gardens Park. I'm John Strand for the Truth Maverick Campaign and Totally LA. God bless America.
God bless the USA.
I hope that you listened intently to Shiva. She's an Iranian American, and she has more understanding of what's going on than most Americans who have lived here all of their lives. And she laid out what I think is the most powerful case I've ever heard from an Iranian American who understands that what is happening in my country, in our country, is so similar with such strong parallels that happened in her country when she was a child. When the revolution overthrew the Shah, the mullahs took over, and Iran became a dictatorship, theocratic nation. She's not trying to be an alarmist or a conspiratist. She's saying Jimmy Carter, at that time president, abandoned the Shah, and that paved the way for the revolution and for Khomeini himself to be installed as the Ayatollah. She says what is happening now in this country with Marxist, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all of this chaos and destruction and violence in our cities is not about racial equality. Let's understand something. This has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with rioters who want to undermine our freedoms, our constitutions, from the Democratic Party. The alarmists and the radicals want to take over this country through Joe Biden, who's a puppet, and transform this country into a socialist, Marxist nation. You think that that is extreme? No, it is not. And she mentioned people in Congress, Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, Linda Sarsour, all of these key Muslims that are doing everything they can to trash this country and undermine our Constitution. And then she talked about what's happening in California with Christians can't go to church. What is happening in our country, Shiva says, is so much like what had happened before the Shah went into exile, before the Islamic Republic took control. And she is saying our only hope, and I love the way she used these words, our only hope that stands between us and that is Donald Trump. Wow. Now, if we ever learned anything, we should learn from those that know what they're talking about. We should learn from those Cubans that live in Florida, the Hispanic, and have been in Cuba and know what socialism looks like. We should listen to this Iranian American who has lived in a free country at one time that was taken over. And the circumstances that are happening now, Shiva says, my gosh, this is the same thing I witnessed as a child. Will we listen to her? Again, she knows more than most Americans. Now, Shiva hasn't lived here all of her life. Not not all of her life, and she knows more about what's happening in our country. She says the media, of course, is on the side of the left, and she goes on to make the case Constitution and our freedoms are under assault. And we need to pay attention to what's going on. A few years ago, I wrote a blog that's in my new book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. This is an article about what happens when your freedoms are taken away from you. It's the story of women in Iran. It's the story of the oppression of wearing the hijab. And the name of the article in my blog originally was Image is Everything, Right? And since we've been talking about freedom and oppression, and we talked earlier about two Iranian refugees in Turkey, I want you to get a glimpse of what I'm trying to say about what happens when tyranny, when dictatorship rules the day, how it treats human beings as lifeless forms of plastic. And that's the name of the article in my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. One of the traditions of my Iranian friends as they prepare for the celebration of Nowruz, the Persian New Year, is shopping for new clothes. Spring is just around the corner, and it's time for new beginnings. Hey, and one of those new beginnings is expanding one's wardrobe. Well, I have a dear friend. Her name is Atifi, who lives in Tehran, and she excitedly left her home one day to go shopping at a local clothing store. And while browsing around inside the store, she noticed security officers confronting the store owner. Later on, she discovered that the security officers had found the store owner was in violation of the Islamic dress code. She had failed to put hijabs on all the mannequins and had to do so immediately or be arrested. It is Islamic law for all women to wear a veil when they go out publicly. If they fail to comply, they can be fined, arrested, or even lashed. But whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Help me out, please. Is there not a distinction between human beings and mannequins? Well, what is a mannequin? A mannequin is a lifeless form of plastic representing a human being. It's used to display the latest fashion in store windows. You know that, right? Oh, I get it now. The Islamic regime would prefer that all Iranian women behave just like the mannequins. Mannequins don't speak or talk back or protest or whine or complain. These lifeless plastic forms wear whatever you put on them without a complaint and stand in the window all day. It seems that image is everything, according to Iranian law. Iranian women are supposed to obey without complaint, just like the mannequins, and wear whatever they are told. The sad reality to this image is everything. It reduces real human beings to lifeless plastic forms without heart and souls. Human beings cannot exist under these conditions. They quickly lose all self-worth and self-esteem, and that's exactly what false religion does. It robs human beings of all meaning and purpose and reduces them to little more than puppets on a string. Well, but God didn't create us as lifeless forms or puppets on a string. He created us with great value and worth and gave us a heart to discover the beauty of life that surrounds us. He breathed into our souls love, purpose, and creativity to shine like the brilliant colors of the rainbow, and to make a difference in a world of suffering and pain. Our lives won't shine very brightly if we are reduced to morbid and depressing existence of mannequins in a store window. God offers you and me true hope and healing. He offers the same to Iranian women. The Bible teaches that he hears the cries of the oppressed and rescues them. I have spent, my gosh, the last 9 years of my life writing the stories of my Iranian friends and being their voice. But I believe with all my heart that one day they're going to be able to walk down the streets of Tehran without fear of being arrested. I can say this with confidence because the Bible teaches something very important. The Bible teaches that God is a God of justice. God will keep his promise to bring justice, hope, and healing to Iranian women. One particular psalm that I use in my prayer time each day is Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. I want to read this to you. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Well, what a powerful promise from God's holy word. God understands their pain because he left his royal throne in heaven and became a human being in Jesus. He suffered excruciating pain on a cross, all to save us from our sins. He understands evil. He understands pain. He understands betrayal because Jesus experienced every one of those things. But what I wanted to tell you, the good news in all of this, and I'm a witness to this, the women of the Middle East are leaving Islam every day because they have found a God who understands their pain and suffering. Jesus is that God. He is not some distant, faraway deity disconnected from our pain, but a God who is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in time of need. My point is, Iranian women may be mannequins to the Islamic regime, but to Jesus, they are precious and beautiful human beings that are loved with an everlasting love. The Bible says, in Jeremiah chapter 30, God says to Israel, he says to us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. This is a love that is not just spoken, but this is a love in action. These are not just mere promises. These are not just mere words to make us feel better. When God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, what he is saying to Israel is, when I saw that you went after false gods, when I saw that you went after idols, I understand your human hearts. You think that you need these idols because they will do for you whatever you want them to do. But I am greater and more powerful and more loving. These idols can't speak. They can't act, but I can speak, and I can act, and I can love, and I can give you a purpose beyond anything you can imagine or think. And what God was saying in that passage, I have loved you with an everlasting love, is I'm committed to you. I know that you're sinful. I understand your weaknesses. I understand that sometimes you get frustrated. Life can be very unfair. And because I don't always do exactly what you want me to do at the time when you want me to do it, you get frustrated and you go after those idols. But those idols will never satisfy you. God is saying, I have a plan and a purpose and a timetable for everything. If you will simply trust me and be patient and wait on me, I will show you great and mighty things that you cannot even begin to imagine. I will do things in your lives that will amaze you. But because of your weakness, because of your impatience, and because of your sin, you go after those idols. But God is saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. My love you can never be separated from. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, something very beautiful. That everlasting love that we can never be disconnected from. He tells us all about that love. I want you to hear it. For I am persuaded, oh, I love this, that neither death nor life nor angels, no principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that? You can never, never, never be separated from his love. If you are truly his child, no matter how dark and deep the pit of sin you're in, no matter how far you have strayed, when God says you cannot be separated, he means exactly what he says. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And in Hosea, he goes after his wayward people. He corners them in the desert. He is the God of irresistible love. He will pursue us no matter where we're at in the world. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to have true hope and freedom, cry out to Jesus. Tell him your hurts and your pains. Ask him to come into your heart, to forgive you of all of your sin, of all of your guilt and all of your shame. And as far as the east is from the west, God has promised to remove your sin. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says we shall be saved. This is the best and the greatest good news to you this morning. I want to encourage you, please share Absinthe's story on your pages. Please share this broadcast about Navid. Please share this interview from this Iranian American. What a powerful interview. Please pray for my friends in Iran who suffer every day under a dictatorship government. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have an incredible week.